Hello, everybody. This is Nemo Cicados here at Finding Me at KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, 88.1 FM. And with me tonight is my sibling, Lizard. Say hello.
Hey.
So, how are you doing today, Lizard?
Well, honestly, I'm chowing down on some candy. Halloween was awesome, and the payload was worth it. It was worth it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the makeup, the costumes, you're like, am I too old for this? Is it too much effort? Mm-hmm. And then someone gives you a Snickers, a full-size Snickers, and you realize there's good in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it probably should have gone to more rich neighborhoods, but we got some good candy.
That's good.
I'm providing for my family.
That's super good. So I was talking about rebooting this. So here we are adding local queer color to your airwaves. You can tune in to listen at 5 p.m. on the first Wednesday of the month for new content on the radio at 88.1 FM on your dial and at our website at kpppfm.com and click listen live on one of the players provided on our website. Let's see. Last time I talked about on my program, even though it's been a very long time, I decided to reboot this in a new format in a way that will work out better for me being on my own. But I am looking for other co-hosts and other people who want to, like, you know, put in their queer experiences and stories. So if you want to reach out to me, you can call at 701-566-0917 or just leave a comment just because you happen to like my show. You can Facebook or tweet me. You can see it in the corner down below, probably on this side, I think, because it's a mirrored image. Let me just check that. Yeah, on my right side here. At Nemo Potatoes, you can Facebook or tweet me. And then you can also contact me at kppfm.com/findingme and hit the contact tab or email Cindy at kppfm.com or Duke at kppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. Donations to Fargo Moorhead's low-power, commercial-free radio station can be made at our website on kppfm.com/donate, and check out our underwriting opportunities at kppfm.com/underwriting opportunities on how you can support the first queer radio program in the Red River Valley. So, the topic of tonight is, what made me queer? And the reason I'm asking this question in both seriousness and jokingness is because a lot of people want to ask, like, what made my child gay? What's this new trend? Is it just a cool thing that the kids are doing now?
What's all this gay stuff coming up recently? What's that about?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to break that down for people that I don't think queerness is caused by anything, particularly by media or by being overly masculine or feminine or associating with activities interpreted to be for binary gender roles. And I also, like, people, especially misguided parents, I would say, don't want their children associating with certain activities. For example, like, boys playing with Barbie dolls or girls playing with trucks because they think that will make them gay or it will confuse them or something. And it's like, kids just want to play with toys and do what they're going to do.
Enjoy themselves, you know?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You can have a lot of interests that can delve into some things that people think is for girls or for boys, or that's something that's exclusively for a certain gender or group. It's not true. Not true at all.
Exactly.
And usually it can confuse a child more if you try to set those rules. It can cause them to grow up feeling confused about themselves and becoming emotionally stunted. Like, some guys don't think they should do hugs. We know about that one. Guys, yes, don't hug or kiss other guys or hang out because doing so means you're weak, you're too touchy, you're clingy. And right, it's not true. Some men grow up believing that any contact they have with women has to be sexual. They can't cuddle. Mm-hmm. And they'll think they're unable to get it up in bed because they don't realize they want to cuddle instead of having, you know, sexual relations with another person.
Mm-hmm.
So some people will have to teach the men in their lives, you don't want to, you know, go to bed with me like that, honey. You just want to cuddle. That's why it's not working. And he's like, what? Then you'll have to hug your husband and teach him about all that stuff. It's a sad thing how we're hurting our children.
Yeah, I really agree with this because, you know, it does get confusing. You're told to act a certain way and you don't really get told why because of this fear of whether or not you're queer. And you could just be comfortable with who you are and still be hetero.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that bad. So, you know, that's just an example of, like, you know, what people think queerness is caused by. Some people, and this has been another thing, and I just feel like it kind of backtracks again to the whole, like, queerness is a mental illness thing, and it's not. And it really shouldn't be, nor should it be connected to mental illness or neurodivergence, as I would put it. Like, for example, I'm autistic, and people will be like, well, maybe you're, you know, are you going to be more likely to be queer or gender nonconforming if you're autistic? And it's like, and, you know, from my perspective, I would say, no, it does not. I say that because, you know, being autistic, it's more like I just don't really care of what people think of me, and I just be myself, even if I'm a mean person overall. Like, I could be a super mean person and literally not care. I'm very cold and callous.
At times. I think in your experience, you've told me how you have some difficulty being able to tell in social situations when you've crossed a certain line, when you're not supposed to push someone to a certain point or say certain things or ask certain questions. And I think being gay and discovering yourself sexually or your sexual orientation or your gender binary has a lot to do with asking questions and discovering yourself. And a lot of people don't cross those lines because either familial or your friendships or just people in general don't want to speak about those things, aren't comfortable trying to teach others about those things, or think those things are bad. And as someone who's autistic, you don't see those boundaries, so you do ask those questions more often and have more chances to discover yourself. Even if it's not something you're trying to purposely do, you're not trying to purposely find out these things or push boundaries, you just accidentally do because you don't have the best, you don't have the ability to really see those boundaries as often, or you sometimes ignore them.
Yeah, if anything, I see the boundaries because they are put out there in front of me and I'm like, okay, but why? I don't understand why we have to, like, for example, one of the biggest questions that I had as a child was why I couldn't have sleepovers at friends who happened to be born male. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but why? And it's like, because girls and boys can't be friends. It's just not a thing. And it's like, really? What do you think about that, for example?
Oh, that happened to me once, too. Sleepover with a boy named Nicholas. It's a fake name. Sure.
Okay.
But I wasn't allowed to have a sleepover with him, and I was very confused. But when they told me it was because he was a boy, I immediately understood it. I was just like, oh, of course, he's a boy, I'm a girl. They might think we kiss or something. Back then, it was just a kiss that I was afraid what would happen. But maybe for you, that was way more confusing. Like, but let's get down to the brass tacks of what that means.
Like, what do you think is going to happen? I thought, like, you know, at sleepovers, you just hung out, you played games, and then you went to sleep, and then, or stayed up all night.
A lot of implied stuff just goes over your head, Romeo.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, all the things that are supposed to happen between girls and boys just went over my head. I had no idea. And I mean, I get it if that's what you want to do, but maybe people should pay attention to what their kids are doing, maybe, and maybe it wouldn't be such a problem. Maybe that's just my two cents. What do you think about that thought?
I think a lot of the time, parents are afraid of exposing their children at a young age to sexuality. They don't explain how babies are born. That's a big joke. What do you do if your kid asks you how babies are born? And then people make jokes about, oh, I don't know, I tell them about the stork or the cabbage. Or when it comes to talking about, mom, why is that man dressed as a woman? And you have to explain, or don't want to explain. One time my grandfather, not one of my grandfathers, I have a very large family, so I have many grandfathers. One of my grandfathers took my brother out, and they saw someone who I assume was transgender because they were dressed female, so they were probably, they probably are trans woman.
Yeah.
But my grandfather said, he pointed that person out to my brother, my little brother, and made fun of them. And when he came home and told me about it, my grandfather told me about it, I had to sit him down and go, there's someone who's transgender in our family, Grandpa. Are you teaching my brother to make fun of those people? And it went over his head because it's a natural reaction to mock or avoid or not explain things when it has to do with your gender identity or your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Parents avoid that or they turn them into jokes. And that causes children to not understand them and grow into adults who do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be taken seriously and it needs to be talked about in everyday life constantly, or else people will slip up, they'll make mistakes, and they'll hurt other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is really important, I think, to, you know, not really think of it that way. And like, so, you know, back to the original topic, as we talk about what causes queerness or what continues to keep you straight and, you know, while at the same time not explaining why you're straight, I found this article. It's about a year old from The Atlantic. I'm going to read it over real quick. Let's see if I can just pull up the link and also the article and how it looks like. So this is the picture that they use. Sorry, this side. How older brothers influence homosexuality. And I'm going to read from it. It is by Olga Kazan, published April 27th last year. Homosexuality might be partly driven by a mother's immune response to her male fetus, which increases with each son she has. So I'm going to read through all this, and you can like interject with your comments if you like.
I'd like to start now. Why only the sons?
I know. See,
what about the girl gays?
Right?
What about us?
I ask this question constantly. So, like,
Pink Song, what about us?
Right. And, like, they only maybe mention females, but in the context of Japanese macaque monkeys. And so it's just like,
monkeys, great.
I know.
Because we're like monkeys, right?
Right.
Look at all
this
hair.
So, yeah. So this article goes like this. So here's what we know. Homosexuality is normal. Between 2 and 11% of human adults report experiencing some homosexual feelings, though the figure varies widely depending on the survey. Homosexuality exists across cultures and even throughout the animal kingdom, as the authors of Mammoth New Review paper on homosexuality write. Between 6 and 10% of rams prefer to mount other rams, not ewes. Certain groups of female Japanese monkeys prefer the company of other females. In certain population, Japanese female macaques will sometimes choose other females as sexual partners, despite the presence of sexually motivated male mates. Female Japanese macaques will even compete intersexually with males for exclusive access to female sexual partners. Here's what we don't know. What specifically causes someone to become gay, straight, or something in between? Part of the explanation is genetics, but since most identical twins of gay people are straight, hereditary doesn't explain everything.
The fact that they think it can explain anything is so interesting to me.
It like, is.
Some of it's genetic, but we don't know how much. And like, really? Is that what you think? Why is everyone straight? Is it also something you can find in your genetics? This reminds me of how they thought they could explain why people of color were lesser than white men, because genetically they were inferior. And I'm like, ooh, genetics. Bring science into it. That'll give it some gumption.
Right.
It'll give it some stability.
Yeah. I'm always complaining about whenever science has to explain something or why something is, because usually the reason they're asking that is, how do we change it?
How do we change it? Yeah, how do we get rid of it?
Right.
Ooh, and freaky.
And so I'm always side-eyeing science while at the same time supporting it. So I have to look at everything very carefully.
It's like reading the Bible, dude. Just like science, you have to make sure you get it in context, you find out what's really going down.
Exactly.
Is Jesus telling a story about a tree, or is he telling a story about a tree that's actually a person, and this is a metaphor?
Right.
You gotta find out.
Yes. So, yeah, this is exactly why I study anthropology. So, the why question is important because there is a, quote, strong correlation between beliefs about the origins of sexual orientation and tolerance of non-heterosexuality. And, quote, according to the report, authors who hail from 7 universities spanning the globe. Specifically, people who believe sexual orientation is biological are more likely to favor equal rights for sexual minorities. When Atlantic contributor Chandler Burr proposed in his 1996 book, A Separate Creation, that people are born gay, Southern Baptists called to boycott Disney films and parks in protest against the publisher, Disney's subsidiary Hyperion. It shouldn't matter whether people, quote, choose to be gay, but politically it does, at least for now. One of the most consistent environmental explanations of homosexuality is called the fraternal birth order effect. Essentially, the more older brothers a man has, the more likely he is to be gay. The effect doesn't hold for older or younger sisters or younger brothers, or even adoptive stepbrothers. According to Ray Blanchard, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto, the reason could be that the mother's body mounts an immune attack on the fetus of her unborn son. As the report authors explain, male fetuses carry male-specific proteins in their Y chromosome, called HY antigens. Blanchard hypothesized that some of these antigens promote the development of heterosexual orientation in males. I know. Because these HY antigens are not present in the mother's body, they trigger the production of maternal antibodies. These antibodies bind to the HY antigens and prevent them from functioning. With HY antigens not functioning, it could be that the be straight signal in the fetus brain never flicks on.
Hold up. Back up. Park your car, back up. Holy shiitake mushrooms.
Yes.
That was a trip. Is this real? This is real. I know I've read it before, but... Ooh, oh my goodness, the B straight victim signal. Do you think they can weaponize this, make a remote that they put it on and it'll hit the B straight signal in people's brains?
Yeah, this is why
the B straight signal. Yeah, this is real science, kids.
Yeah.
They should learn this stuff in biology.
Yeah, they haven't pinpointed it. I mean, they have for autism, they know where it is. And
because if you have a Y chromosome, automatically there's a straightness happening. And if there's a hindrance to it, the straightness dies away.
Yeah, and it's just okay.
So what about trans? What about trans women? What about them?
Yeah, or or
they're single child trans women. Are they just
and here's the thing. They've talked about, for example, with trans folk. Here's the thing. Social ideas of gender is a totally blank slate in the brain. If you looked at what's considered to be a male brain and a female brain, it's exactly the same. The only reason it changes in development is because of the way we raise people to be one or the other, even though it's fluid. And so
we just have such a strong belief in the systems we've created in society to be true, to be natural. We think things should be this way and are this way because we're human, not because we made them this way. Everything we do isn't actually done out of this pure human urge to have Walmart. No, Walmart came about because someone wanted to make money and the store grew. And then suddenly there's Walmarts everywhere. This isn't something that just naturally develops because humans. This is something that develops over time with planning and plotting and et cetera, et cetera. Just the same thing as gender norms. It's the same as all of this. This is not something that develops in your brain. And the gays are just some weird...
anomaly? Spring.
Yeah, anomaly. We're not anomalies.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
Right.
And the fact that people would read this article and leave going, you know what, my gay cousin George, I got the answer. I know why you're this way. And I still love you, George. I always support your decisions. Oof.
Okay.
It's a ride.
Okay, so I'm going to think this is almost over, this article. But... yeah, it's almost done. So,
because There's got to be a reason why. You can't just like other people of the same gender. That's okay. Madness.
Right. Okay, so back to this article. Blanchard believes this phenomenon grows stronger with each boy a woman bears. Studies have found that a man without older brothers has a 2% chance of being gay, but one with four older brothers has a 6% chance. Meanwhile, other studies have found the relationship to be weak or non-existent. And so, to me, that sounds like we're calling BS.
I hope so.
Right. As psychologist Rich Savin-Williams writes in an accompanying commentary, the outcome for any given baby boy might depend on the timing of the immune response and the fetus' susceptibility to antibodies. So basically, it could be random. Anything. It could happen. According to the report, Blanchard now plans to test the mother of gay and straight men for the presence of these antibodies. If proven out, fetal birth order could do a lot of fill in the missing explanations for homosexuality.
That we so need in this world. This dark world.
But there will still be remaining gaps. Like some firstborn sons are gay, why some identical twins of gay sons are straight, why women are gay, to name just a few.
So many. That's just a few. There's so many questions they have.
Yeah. The review paper authors do rule out one explanation for homosexuality forever, that tolerance for gay people encourages more people to become gay.
No.
Who'd have thunk?
It's almost as if people express themselves more truthfully when they're in an environment where they won't be punished for it or harassed or murdered.
Yeah.
It's madness. I don't know. I just pulled that one out of my bum. You know, it could be crazy.
Yeah. So, quote, homosexual orientation does not increase in frequency with social tolerance, though its expression in behavior and open identification may do so.
I'm which a genius. You just said.
Right. So that reasoning, that tolerant society somehow encourages homosexuality to flourish, has been used to support anti-gay legislation in Uganda, Russia, and elsewhere.
Come on, Russia.
These laws do marginalize and shame gay people, the authors write, but they won't do away with sexual orientation that's ubiquitous, enduring, and whether through genes or hormones or antibodies are perfectly natural. And so that's a conclusion. Yeah, that's a conclusion of the article, which I will link again here at the bottom of the Facebook Live. And then now that we've gone over that, we've had our commentary.
Oof-da.
My thoughts over it, maybe there's a gay gene, but I wouldn't worry about it, because it's not like it.
If there's a gay gene, Nemo, they will find it and they will make you pay. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry.
Careful with the mic, be caring. So yeah, don't worry about it. If there's a gay gene, maybe, I mean, it's not detrimental to our health. Just like, for example, people are born intersexual with their genitals, and then, it's not really important to mess with their body, and that's why they have so many problems when they grow older, and it's like, what's wrong with me? It's not what's wrong, it's what they did to you. It's unfortunate, and, you know, and that varies from person to person, but most of the time, from the stories I hear, they are actually more disturbed with what's happened to them. And for some reason, the information of their gender change because of the in-between that they were is, like, top secret, locked up, you can't find it. It's like, that's their information. That should be accessible to them.
People highly value what they use to define other human beings. That's something that people hold on to with cold, until they die. With cold, dead hands, they'll be clutching their gender identity, their race, and their social status. Oh, they'll, yeah, like, their babies will be falling into volcanoes, and they'll be clutching these things desperately as the world crumbles around them. It's something that they need to define. It's kind of like how people will use race as a way to go, where are you from? Because they immediately want to find out in what way they should treat you and see you as human. It's the same way with sexuality. If you're a woman, then I can treat you certain ways. But if you're a trans man, what? You can't be. You can't just do that. You can't change things up. How am I supposed to catalog you if suddenly you're not what I think?
Exactly.
Murder, apparently.
Yeah.
That's something people turn to.
Right.
It's the same way with sexuality. Like, men are afraid that gay men will treat them the way they treat women. That's a fear they have.
Right, because that's their only idea of equality, because equality to them is their supremacy.
Women will treat gay women as if they're nothing but a fetish, or, are you going to treat me how men treat me? Or can I treat you how men treat me? Mm-hmm. People don't know how to deal with other people when they change this narrative. they need to define you. And if they can't, they'll usually reject you or fetishize you or kill you. Mm-hmm. I keep bringing up kill because this is a scary world. Mm-hmm. And people have died.
Yep, and that's the thing, you know, especially with the murdery bit. Like, excuse me. I'm going to move on to the next part of the topic in terms of queerness and what makes you queer and what doesn't make you queer or even what makes you straight. I'm going to talk about metrosexuality, compulsive heterosexuality, and invalidating and gatekeeping of the LGBT community. Fun. Summarize as, let people be who they're going to be or, you know, in the future they're going to be. So one bullet point I'm going to start with here is cis-hetero men having emotional capacity, grooming themselves, or generally being clean, and heterosexual ideas of what queerness is to them. Like, you know, there are people, well, especially misogynist men, will make a joke about someone who cares for themselves well, you know, and clean themselves. But if you're, you know, a manly man, you're going to be dirty and gross.
Like a bear. Like you're going to be a mountain man, drink Mountain Dew and fight a bear. You're going to do what you got to do. Well, let me tell you right now, that's something people do a lot. Like at work once, someone told me, do you think that guy's gay? And I look, and this guy's wearing pink pants. And I'm thinking, seriously? That's what's going to tip you off to this? Like a stranger. He sees a stranger for the first time, and the first thing he thinks when he sees pink pants on this stranger he's never seen before is he gay? Like, what? What kind of warped logic? Like, if you see someone with a haircut, or who comments on someone else's appearance, who brushes their teeth regularly, like, what, where's the line? If I wear something in my hair one day, someone gonna be like, whoa.
Yeah, and, like, this happens, too, with, like, for example, whether or not a woman cuts their hair short, like, apparently that automatically makes you a lesbian or something, and it's just like, maybe my hair is thick and it gets really hot.
Ooh, tomboys. That's a fun topic.
Yeah, tomboys. Or
they used to call you a tomboy.
Yeah, they did. You're a tomboy. But then in the end, I ended up being a man anyway.
And you're a gay boy.
Yeah, exactly. So then, like, I was thinking about how they like to define, like, what straight people like to define what queerness is to them, whether it's how they dress, how they cut their hair, or if they shave, or if they don't shave, or if they're clean or not clean, or just do anything, or just move they're the wrong way.
They're afraid of gay people. And the scary part for them is that they can't tell you're gay by looking at you, mm-hmm. or how you speak, or how you act. Like, a lot of people will hear a man speak a certain way, and then years later, when that man comes out as gay, goes, see, I could tell because, come on, it's so obvious, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of left going, ew.
Yeah, and, like, something else that bothers me is that, like, while I'm fine about queer people noticing other queer people, which makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like following, you know, finding your kin and, like, hey, I see you, a Mexican,
yeah,
and
you're just like,
and I am also a Mexican, and therefore we are the same community and we can bond over this.
You can see each other just, from across the room.
And then with queer people, it's the same thing, like, you're queer, I'm queer, let's hang out, we're cool, you know, let's bond over our, you know, our same oppression that we suffer from.
Well, no one likes being alone in the room as the only gay person or the only person of color. That's right. Just uncomfortable.
Right, but it's different when someone of privilege is trying to identify you as someone other, which is basically like code for, what are you so that I can find out how to oppress you.
Yeah, and it's creepy that they just say, you're gay? I could tell. And you're like, whoa.
And it's like, I don't need to be identified by you.
It's also kind of creepy, though.
Because it's just generally creepy.
There's a difference between someone going, you're Mexican? I'm Mexican. See? And then the difference between that and going, you're Mexican? I could spot you right away. And you're just like, ugh, are they hunting me?
Yeah, and so it's like, it really bothers me when cisgendered or hetero folk are like, oh yeah, I could tell in the way that, like, you know, I knew you were different than me, and so I'm just,
what's
like,
somewhat uncomfortable is that if that's in a social situation, like you're at work or you're at the store or you're somewhere in the public eye and some person just comes up to you and tells you they could tell, well, sometimes you don't want them to tell. Sometimes people are hiding their sexual identity or their gender binary because of reasons, because they don't want to come out yet, because they don't want their family to know, because it wouldn't be good for their job. And having someone just be able to tell, it's mm-hmm. just kind of like, I was trying so you could not tell. It's mm-hmm. kind of creepy mm-hmm. to know because, that you could.
And the thing is,
and you shouldn't be proud of that.
Right. And the thing is,
it's
like,
private. It's not you.
Not only is it private, it's a life and death situation.
Yes.
Because, like, right now, a current joke is, God forbid they assume I'm straight. But on the other hand, stay away from me. I'm queer as heck.
I know, right?
Right. So that's a current joke going on. In the queer community, at least I've seen on social media. And, like, you know, I want to continue off of that. For example, cis-hetero women feeling the pressure to date men when you might be ace, you might be lesbian, you might be bi, pan, etc. And right now there's this glow-up thing going on Twitter. Let me just pull that up. Boom. You can see it right over here on my right side here. Like, Lizard, what do you think of the this glow-up? On here.
The glow up.
Yeah. These photos. For example, this is just a slideshow, but of all these women who in their freshman year of high school were having a boyfriend or men with a girlfriend and then eventually marrying or by the end of their senior year, dating someone of the same sex.
And it's not surprising at all.
Like
usually
usually the glow up is like, oh, I got prettier because puberty, but this glow up is like gay glow up. Like, I've come to find that I'm not hetero.
Yeah, but it's not surprising, but yeah, it's sad.
It is sad.
Because you can, come on, look how happy they are in the last pictures and in the beginning pictures.
Yeah, like, a lot of the joke is like, look how uncomfortable we were. It's probably best that we, you know, separated. And it's like, you know what, that is.
But what's also uncomfortable is that it's not always something you can see. Someone could be in the first picture and your mom could be looking at that going, you both are so cute. And you could be like, yeah, we're adorable. And then a year later going, I had never realized just how uncomfortable I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, these are lucky. These are the lucky ones. There's someone who's graduating and is now in their 40s. Mm-hmm. And they still haven't realized
yeah.
or had the support mm-hmm. or the education or anything to be able to make that second step.
Exactly. So, like, you know, I look at these photos and I think, yeah, eventually these people found themselves and who they were in their lives. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I want
to... They're all just so young, though. It's not something you expect because a lot of the time it takes you years, decades before you actually get to that point.
Yeah.
Because it's something people sometimes wait for, but usually something people just discover
mm-hmm,
after
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I wanted to go over that in terms of, like, compulsive heterosexuality is the expectation that you have to be dating the other sex to, you know, move on in your life. And so I was looking up some stuff from my old textbook, Sexuality, an intro, a short intro by Veronique Mottier. And
Fancy name.
Yeah, and she references in this collaborative book of sorts from different sources and authors and such, a essay from Adrienne Rich, and I pulled up the document over here that's also going to be dropped down the PDF. And, like, you know, I'm finding some interesting bits and pieces, and it talks about basically how men enforce heterosexuality upon women and upon themselves.
Oh, yeah.
This expectation to deny women their sexuality. And I'm just summarizing these points, to force it, the male sexuality, upon women, to command or exploit their labor to control their produce, to control or rob them of their children, confine them physically and prevent their movement, to use them as objects in male transactions, like, you know...
Marriage.
Right. To cramp their creativeness, and to withhold from them large areas of society's knowledge and cultural attainment. And I wanted to pull this quote from afterwards, which really helps summarize this whole bit, which is, quote, yet each one have listed adds to the cluster of forces within which women have been convinced that marriage and sexual orientation toward men are inevitable, even if unsatisfying or oppressive components of their lives. The chastity belt, child marriage, erasure of lesbian existence, except as exotic and perverse, in art, literature, film, idealization of heterosexual romance and marriage, these are some fairly obvious forms of compulsion, the first two exemplifying physical force, the second two control of consciousness. And then it talks about how sexuality of women is also controlled of, you know how, like, for example, you're not supposed to be happy with your husband sort of thing. And it's like,
yeah, those lame. Relationships are very disturbing.
Exactly.
Like, the men talk about how they want to kill their wives, and wives talk about how they want to leave their husbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how women are not supposed to feel pleasure in their relationships, and so it talks about that.
Like, men asking, if two women are doing it, how do you know when you're done? And yeah. You're just like, whoa.
Yeah, it's really,
you're just
yeah.
like, wow, you've satisfied no one in your life.
Yeah, and then, let's see, I kind of skipped over a quote a little bit because it is generally explicit, but you can look it up in the link that I dropped down. It continues that Kathleen Berry first pointed out that it is not simply a way of turning the young girl into a marriageable woman through brutal surgery. It intends that women in the intimate proximity of polygamous marriage will not form sexual relationships with each other, that from male genital fetishist perspective, female erotic connections, even in sex segregated situation, will be literally excised. So, you know, that continues with the fact that we were expected to, like, you know,
oh yeah,
find a man there's, and then also be unhappy.
Oh, there's a lot of creepy stuff. Like, I learned when I was younger, and I learned about, you know, doing the do,
mm-hmm.
that when it's done, women are supposed to bleed. And I thought, that sounds wrong, so I looked it up because that was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that's not true. It's because men don't know, majority of them don't know how to properly arouse mm-hmm. and have intercourse with their partners. Mm-hmm. And so they hurt them, actually damaging.
Yeah.
And causing bleeding to occur. And when right. that occurs, you're supposed to stop also.
Right.
Don't continue. But right. that's something a lot of men in the olden days thought, that a woman wasn't a virgin unless she bled.
Yeah,
which
and
is
that's
not true. It just yeah. means you don't know how you're doing her. You're both very inexperienced.
Yeah, both inexperienced, and it's painful as it is violent.
Some women would even cut the inside of their thigh so that it could show they were bleeding.
Yeah,
this shows inexperience, but also a fetishization of women in pain. Like
yeah.
how guys enjoy the idea of hurting women, of forcing themselves on women, of causing them to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Of causing damage, permanent damage,
because mm-hmm.
they think after this is done, then, you know, she's yours or whatever.
Yeah.
It's extremely disturbing
mm-hmm.
that they not only don't know how to pleasure their partner properly,
mm-hmm.
but would actually go out of their way to damage them
mm-hmm.
because they believe that that's how you do it properly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's scary.
It is scary. And so, like, then there's, like, not only that, but, like, when you do figure out that you're queer, and there's this trend that I notice in both lesbian communities and just generally the LGBT community, where you invalidate lesbian women who were formerly dating men, and they realize that I'm not straight, I'm actually...
I see that a lot more in the bi community, because... bisexuals are very often seen as either fake gays
mm-hmm.
or they're trying to win both sides, or they're sexual predators, because if you like two genders, then you're just trying to have, you know, you're just trying to have intercourse with everyone. And so they'll invalidate them if they've been with one person, either male or female, before, and say you're either lesbian or you're straight, or, you know, vice versa for men.
Yeah, and then they try to explain bisexuality to straight people, like, it's like half straight, half gay. It's like, no, it's not. It's, you just... like both genders or more, you know.
Pansexuality is more.
Right. Oh, that's right. Because the way bisexuality I've seen is sometimes described in definitions, this could be wrong. Correct me, you know, comment on my show if you want to correct me. I used to identify as bi because I felt compulsive heterosexuality on me. And I thought, well, what if I'm not really queer? But I know I'm a little bit queer, so maybe just in case I like a dude. But no, that's not what ended up happening
Mm-mm.
for me. We talk about how lesbian women who formerly dated men finally date women, how they're not real lesbians, they're not a gold star lesbian who's always liked women from the beginning.
Those ones who go, I've known since I was 6 years old, and you're like, ooh, it's fancy.
Exactly.
I knew since I was 35.
Right,
I had two kids with a guy, and now I'm divorced.
Yeah, exactly.
Lucky
so,
you.
So, again, with that theme, and then, like, bi men or bi women invalidated by dating or marrying men, women, you know, of the opposite sex, and therefore they are traitors to the LGBT community, or they've been hetero all along, or you can't trust bi men or bi women because then they'll just go back to being hetero or something. And it's like,
which is super disturbing. Once again,
it's not only showing LGBT community's insecurity, but also just, you know, respect their relationship. They're happy. They're still bi. They just happen to be very happy in a relationship right now, okay?
A lot of people, when they realize their sexuality, like they're gay or they're lesbian, it took a long time for them to get there. But sometimes, well, most of the time, sexuality is fluid. Like, mm-hmm. Someone may come out as gay, and then they'll realize they're transgender and they were straight. And mm-hmm. then someone will have to go, wait a minute. And they'll try to stop them. Try to reverse their transition by telling them they're wrong or they weren't thinking things through. And every step of the way, that person might change. They might find out they're not gay. Mm-hmm. They're still transgender, but it turns out they're pansexual. And then later on, they find out they're asexual. Sexuality is something that changes, mm-hmm. just along with you as a person change. Mm-hmm. And this can be difficult because going the first step into finding out you're gay is hard enough, and then changing and realizing you're something else and discovering yourself continually is hard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then having everyone, it's always good to have a group of people who can support you. And those people might also be going through what you're going through, and they'll feel like you're betraying them. Mm-hmm. If suddenly you're not part of their group anymore. Mm-hmm. And so people have this sense of belonging that's ripped from them as they're discovering themselves. They're no longer straight, so that whole community is gone for them. Mm-hmm. And then maybe later on they find out they're no longer male, and that community is gone. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that a lot of people like to reject because it makes them uncomfortable. And it's something that a lot of people who go through it feel like they have to reject themselves. They just stop discovering themselves after a while because they don't want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, on to that next point. Like, you know, why do we gatekeep in our communities and define the experiences of others, right? Like, really. And so, you know, along with that, because you keep mentioning this, and I'm glad you brought it up, whether or not how long you knew you were queer, or, you know, how long you've been a particular sexual orientation identity or gender identity, it's not a contest of what's making you more queer the longest or whatever, and it's not a thing. And so I wanted to bring that up with this Twitter thread by Louisa the Last. Let me just pull that up over here. I got it in my little thing. Here we go.
Technology has come Boom. So far.
So, hey, a reminder. While the popular narrative is, I always knew I was gay, a whole lot of us did not have that experience, right? And so sometimes it takes a while. And then next is, every 5-year-old who already knows they're different, there's someone else who won't know until they're a teen or an adult, right? Then it continues. Some of us need to try the stuff to figure things out. Some of us from day one. Both are valid. No one is more gay for knowing early. I've heard the same sort of thing from trans friends who don't fall into, trying to pull up this tweet. Here we go. Am I really trans? Thinking about just because you didn't know at 6. Sometimes it's a case of needing to know there are alternatives. Sometimes it's just a more gradual dawning. I thought I was straight as a teen because, although I knew of lesbians, I heard over and over again that they always knew. Right? Then the next series of tweets here. I wasn't actively repulsed by guys. I liked a lot of them as friends. I thought that was enough. I wasn't really into anyone much. When I fell in love with a woman in college, I thought, okay, I'm bi, because I'd had crushes on boys, though no experience. Same for me. Because I was being responsible and not ready. LOL, LOL, LOL. Anyway, I needed to that push of a woman being into me first. And that's kind of been my experience too, for the most part. Someone being into me first. Then that relationship was awful and I didn't date anyone for years after it. I was scared off women and for some reason not pursuing men. Eventually, I did date again. I dated men. And they were perfectly nice, great guys, and I felt guilty that I didn't want to screw them. I started to wonder if I was ace, or gray ace anyway, because things with my ex had never been great anyway, and here I was, just not into it. And then two things happened. One, I started engaging with more media filled with lesbians, and something in my brain went, hell yes. Two, I met Takiya, and oh hey, there's my sex drive. Wow, here it is. Okay, we're 100% lesbian as heck. And I was 32. I'm 34 now. Still kind of a baby lesbian in many ways, and that's okay. You would not see me in a lesbian bar and notice. It's never too late to be gay, kids. Also, we need to talk about compulsory heterosexuality and how the belief that women don't enjoy sex anyway leads to many late discoveries, which we just talked about.
Very, very true.
Yep. But that's the story for another day. Oh, one last thing. The omnipresence of this, quote, I always knew narrative comes from a place that was trying to be helpful to us. It's a side effect of having to tell religious zealots over and over that there's nothing unnatural about us, that we're born this way. The truth is, it's just more complicated than that, but nuance is tough to grapple with when you're fighting for your lives. And that it's I can agree true. With. It is. So, you know, yeah. What do you think, Lizard?
I thought a lot of that was very insightful and cool, and the story was nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said before, I believe that while you may, like, settle on something that you feel comfortable with, that's not something... It's not like a fight to a finishing goal,
mm-hmm.
unless the goal is death, then yes. But I think it's more of something that gradually occurs. Like, one day, you'll be really into art, mm-hmm. and as you go along, you'll pick up another hobby, mm-hmm. and another, and one of them might become a job, mm-hmm. but you might not stay that job forever. I think sexuality is like that. It's something that will continue to change.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't, it's not something that just stagnates into one thing.
Mm-hmm.
How you're attracted to other people and how you relate yourself sexually and gender-wise to other people is something that should change. I don't feel like the structure of society in relation to those two things should stay the way it is, because it's really confining and it's toxic, mm-hmm. and it leaves people feeling unfulfilled and unhappy. When I was younger,
mm-hmm.
I thought I was straight,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good time. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, my big brother told me he was gay, and he was amazing in the light of my life. So I mm-hmm. thought that was great, too. But as he started to explore his sexuality more, I wasn't as open.
Because mm-hmm.
when he came out as gay, I was like, fine. Then he came out as trans, and I was like, whoa, hold up there, son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a road bump. Mm-hmm. But it helped me grow as a person, and my brother, of course, because mm-hmm. I realized that it wasn't just about who you want to be in a relationship with. It's who you are as a human being,
mm-hmm.
as a person, and how you define yourself. And I grew because of that. And I just say right now, I'm lucky because my brother is an autistic Mexican transgender man. And it is like, there's nothing I don't have some experience with now. You should get friends who are also autistic and transgender. It would be awesome. Try it. But I was lucky enough to have one born with me, so... I got that in the bag, in the family. It helps you grow as a human being when you're exposed to those things. And then I realized that I was attracted to everyone. I mean, not everyone, come on. I'm only in for the sexy ones. But I found that when it came gender-wise or sexuality, I didn't really feel any roadblocks for me. And I was like, huh. And maybe I'll have more experience. Maybe find out I am straight later on. But right now, sexually, I'm feeling very open.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like my gender right now. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that everyone should try to explore it. Shouldn't be afraid to. Someone may find that they're attracted to someone, and then that person will come out as transgender. Maybe you'll still be attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. That was the case with me and my boyfriend. Like, you know, he came out to me as trans. And, you know, part of his fear of coming out was like, would you still love me? Or are you going to be like, you know, those people who are transphobic? And it's just like, you're still... the same person, you just discovered yourself, I figured. That sort of thing. That's how I took it.
And there's some people who will not care about the gender of another person. But it may be a case by case. One person they may be open with sexually,
mm-hmm.
even if they're a gender that's the opposite of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then another person, they'll realize they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it could switch from person to person, from times in your life, it's extremely fluid, and I feel like a lot of people want to box them up because they want this feeling of community. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants a feeling of belonging and community. It's a part of human beings. Mm-hmm. We want to feel like we're understood, that people love us.
Mm-hmm. We're social creatures.
So when you come out as gay, you want gay community to support you. Mm-hmm. What if you come out as transgender? You want the transgender community to support you. Mm-hmm. What if suddenly one of those things stops happening? What if suddenly you're like, oh no, I'm not gay anymore. I'm still trans though. Do you lose that other community? What if both things go away? Mm-hmm. Are you part of the straight community now, even though you're never part of it before? Mm-hmm. It's like this need to belong can actually stunt our ability to grow as human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to find some leeway between mm-hmm. those, or mm-hmm. else we're going to kind of...
Yeah, it's why I identify with the queer thing, because it lets me continue to change who I am, you know, continuously as humans are meant to. We're constantly changing. You know, you've always told me that after 10 years, you're an entirely different person from how you started. Physically. Like, all the cells in your body have died off from 10 years ago, and now you have completely new cells from that point on. And, you know, it continues like that from decade to decade. And so things like, you said it yourself too, actually. Reminder here that sexuality is fluid, so it can change from one day to the next, from 1 year to the next, from decade to decade. And, you know, my story is that I started out as cisgendered and bisexual, and I was feeling that compulsory heterosexuality in case, well, I've had crushes on guys, so maybe that's a thing. And then later on, I was like, well, I'm cisgendered, so maybe I am panromantic, because I didn't know there was romanticisms. And also, maybe I'm actually uncomfy with sex. And it's like, wait, now I am a trans man. I feel that a lot. And I'm demisexual. I need that trust, which is why, you know, I'm dating the person that I am, because I have that trust with them. And then, you know, who will I be in the future? Who knows? I don't know, but I'm going to find out eventually.
You'll be beautiful.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the evolution of me as a human being. So here's my end question. What made me queer? You know, I like to joke that, you know, animation made me queer, because there's certain magic about it that, you know, lets heroes be who they're going to be, or become something else or someone else in a magical way. So I like to say things like cartoons made me gay, you know, just as a joke, as a general thing. But no, they did not technically make me gay. Lizard, what made you gay?
Well, honestly, there's this, people like asking questions like, at least what makes human humans? Or what makes you, you? And I always respond, humans make human humans, and I make me, me. And so what made me gay? Gay did. The source of your question is in the source of your question. It's very it's obvious. The reason I'm gay is because I'm gay. And mm-hmm. the reason I'm human is because I'm human. The reason I'm myself is because I'm myself. And that will change every day, and it will still be the same answer. People like to think that there's some kind of complicated code. Maybe you can find it in the genomes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can find it in science. Maybe you can find it in community. Maybe you can find it in yourself. But it's something that's constantly changing. Human beings are constantly changing.
I mean,
and
it's
learning.
Like, I mean, it's like trying to, you know, put a nail through water.
It'll just get rusty.
Well, it's going to get rusty, which is how long you're wasting time to try to pin it down. And it cannot be pinned down. It's fluid. It's just going to keep changing and changing shape and form to whatever you try to box it in.
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to believe that I could become immortal. I still do, because that'd be awesome. But when I was thinking about immortality, I thought about what makes people human. And I realized that the person I am today isn't going to be the person I am tomorrow. And so even if I immortalize myself in like a machine or something, what if old Lizzie... What if that person wouldn't be me, because it'd just be a picture of that one section of my life. And from then on, I'd be a new person still. I'd still be growing. I could become the gayest of them all in a week, and that past me wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. There's so much growth that mm-hmm. comes with being a human being, and there's accepting it too, because mm-hmm. it's hard to categorize and profit off of people who are so fluid and so truly unique. Mm-hmm. You need to categorize, you need to name, and sometimes it's good because it helps people understand, it helps them go into groups, it helps them feel a sense of community, but it can be extremely detrimental. Mm-hmm. And we need to level that, because if we don't, we're going to have people who are stunted. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a healthy gay community, but extremely unhealthy people mm-hmm. who don't know how to become fluid mm-hmm. in the sexuality that they born their community out of.
Yeah. Yeah. And you took the words out of my mouth.
I love you too.
Uh-huh. I love you. So now with that, I want to ask you, audience, what made you queer? We're going to finish this up with this video and then one last thing.
Hey guys, it's Sarah and welcome back to my channel. So, quick story time. Once upon a time, I went to an all-girls high school. And when I graduated, I went to a women's college. So one question that I get a lot, like a lot from people in my life is, did going to an all-girls school make you gay? And the short answer to that is obviously not. There's so many people I graduated with who are still straight, so obviously it's not the school. But in honor of Pride Month and this question that people feel the need to ask me, I decided to make a list of 25 things that actually made me gay. Number one, the US women's national soccer team. How are you all so good looking? Doesn't make sense. The Wonder Woman movie. Saw that this weekend. Definitely came out a little bit gayer than I went in. Selena Gomez running in slow motion. Makes me very gay. Hannah Hart from My Drunk Kitchen. More like Hannah Hard Eyes, am I right? But by the way, if you haven't read her book yet, I think it's called Buffering, you should go read it because it's phenomenal and it will give you all the feels. Moving on. Samira Wiley's smile and her laugh and pretty much everything she does. The L Word, obviously, which I used to watch on my iPod Classic on the bus on the way to school every single day freshman year of high school. Sierra's music video for Ride. My third grade teacher, because she was young and very beautiful and wore really cool pants that I still remember 15 years later. Anytime Rihanna does anything, ever. Any movie with any woman who does anything remotely athletic. Bonus points if she's in a sports bra. The time that Jenna Dewan Tatum did the dance to Pony from Magic Mike. Wasn't mad about it. Thought it was an improvement from the original. Lexa from The 100, for sure. Lexa deserved better. Girls in flannel, girls with tattoos, girls who roll up their sleeves, girls with freckles, girls who wear snapbacks, girls who play sports, girls who play instruments, funny girls who can sing, creative girls, intelligent girls, ambitious girls who are passionate about things. Girls made me gay. But real talk, guys, nothing can make you gay. You feel what you feel, and you love who you love, and you do you. One more thing I forgot to mention before my camera overheats again. I changed my YouTube channel name and my social media names. Because forcing yourself to adhere to one identity forever didn't feel like it was in the spirit of Pride Month. So make sure to hit subscribe because I have a whole bunch more gay-themed videos coming out for Pride Month that you don't want to miss. And leave me some comments about things that made you gay. Love to know. All right, bye guys.
Okay, so that was a fun video that I found.
She's a doll. She is an absolute adorable doll.
Mm-hmm. So now...
And she made some good points.
She did.
I, too, liked that Magic Mike dance.
Mm-hmm.
She improved it.
Mm-hmm. So, once again, if you like this show, you can... leave your comments or questions or whatever. You can contact us at 701-566-0917. Tweet or Facebook me at Nemo Potatoes, you know. Contact me through the contact tab on kpppfm.com/finding-me or email Cindy at kpppfm.com or do get kpppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, The People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. Donations to Fargo Moorhead's low-power, commercial-free radio station can be made at our website on kpppfm.com/donate. Check out our underwriting opportunities at kpppfm.com/underwriting-opportunities on how you can support the first queer radio program in the Red River Valley. And with that, thank you for tuning in. See you next month on the first Wednesday here on Finding Me.